Dividing but not conquering, the largest nation in Africa faces a decision.
Our separation, if it happens, will not be born out of hatred for anyone. It will be born out of our desire to be free.
If Sudan votes to separate into two countries, North and South, sometime early next year, it would be the most significant political development since the end of apartheid in South Africa, or possibly since the maps of Africa were drawn by the colonial empires in the last century. North versus South in Sudan. Is it a question of ballots, not bullets? On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, December 17th. A discussion of a story that you're going to hear a lot more about early next year as Sudan votes possibly to separate into two countries. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste Headlee is out today. Managing producer Noel King joins me this morning.
Good morning, John.
With a lot of connections to this Sudan story.
Many, many years in Sudan, yeah.
And we will hear all about that after the headlines. Let's get a check of the morning's top news. Congress has finally approved the president's contentious tax cut compromise.
On this vote, the yeas are 277, the nays are 148. The motion is adopted.
It's Democratic Congressman Jason Altmaier announcing passage of the bill in the House at midnight last night. A $1 trillion spending bill, though, suffered a very different fate. It was abandoned in the Senate, again putting the federal government at risk of a shutdown as early as Saturday if no other measure is passed. Speaking to Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick, South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint called the bill's death a victory.
We're 100% against this, and that's a good signal to the American people after this election. And they were wondering if we got the message. I think tonight says we did.
But Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Republicans who withdrew their support for the bill, by his account, are to blame for preventing Congress from funding the government.
They know who they are. And in the last 24 hours, they've walked away from the ability for us to complete this legislation.
Both of those lawmakers' voices sound about as bad as mine.
As yours.
It's ragged. As a counteroffer, Republicans are suggesting a two-month bill that would expire, a so-called continuing resolution that would expire once they're in control of the House early next year. The White House has taken a close look at President Obama's war strategy in Afghanistan. A key part of the report is a look at the results of the troop surge. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mike Mullen is in Kabul. He says it's apparent the Taliban have been driven from Kandahar.
The enemy is losing, and in particular, the enemy is losing there. And I have every confidence that he will continue to lose.
Mullen expressed some worry that Taliban leaders could just return to their stronghold next spring or summer, just as American troops begin their withdrawal scheduled for July. Months before the BP disaster, safety concerns at a separate oil platform in the Gulf of Mexico caught the attention of congressional officials. But dysfunctional communication got in the way of anyone taking early action or preventive action. That's the revelation from more than 5,000 pages of emails between Interior Department regulators and members of Congress obtained by our partner, The New York Times. And on this day in 1903, Wilbur and Orville, the bike repairmen, conducted the first successful man-powered airplane flight near Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Asian and European indices are mixed this morning. Futures are down on Wall Street. Stocks closed at a two-year high yesterday. The Dow gets underway under some selling pressure at 11,499. The S&P opens at 1,242, and the NASDAQ opens at 2637. Coming up this morning, our week-long series on American values in 2010. Values were really a theme of the election, of the sort of definition of what the Obama presidency
has been about. They're at the center of the year in a lot of ways.
And today we're going to take a look at freedom. Is freedom an essential American value? What was freedom to our forefathers? What does it match up with what we think of as free today? Also in the season of giving, we'll hear the story of one man who's the first living multiple organ donor, a story of giving and the value of life this hour. But first, New York Times columnist Nick Kristof joins us to talk about the potential cleaving of Sudan, a look at a vote that could split the North and the South. Will there be violence? Will there be peace? Will the map get rewritten in Africa? In a few minutes.